And you may be seated. As we begin the new year together, we are turning once more to the prophet Jonah. We've really gone halfway through Jonah's prophetic book. And today we pick up in chapter 3. And we're just considering this morning the first five verses, and then this evening, Lord willing, we'll consider the remainder of the chapter. So if you want to open to the prophet Jonah, we're going to look together at verses 1 through 5. This is God's holy word. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. This is the word of our God. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your holy word, for all that it declares to us in the reading and hearing of it. And now, Father, we pray for your Holy Spirit to take that word that has been read and heard, and may it be faithfully proclaimed according to Scripture, according to your grace in the gospel. And we pray, Father, that you will fill your servant and your people with the Holy Spirit, that the word of Christ might be proclaimed this day and received, and that together we might be built up in the knowledge and love of your saving mercy in Christ, in whose name we pray these things. Amen. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, on this first Lord's Day of the year of our Lord, 2017, I ask you this simple question. Do you believe that the Lord God of the Bible is a God of second chances? Do you believe that the Lord God, revealed in Holy Scripture, the one who is the creator of the ends of the earth, and your God, do you believe that he is a God of second chances? Most of you, I would hazard a guess, know that he is, believe that he is. But on the day that you stand before the great white throne of judgment, those of you here in this place who have believed in Christ Jesus will know without question, without doubt, that God is a God of second chances. You will know that the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, took you out of the very fires of hell and spared you, while all the rest of Adam's sons and daughters shall go to their everlasting torment. And on that day, you will be praising God, declaring that if God did not have mercy on whom he would have mercy, then no one would have escaped the punishment of hell, his righteous indignation against all human lawlessness and disobedience. Beloved in the Lord, I ask you today, do you believe that the God of the Bible is a God of second chances? The prophet Jonah does. Do you? If you are Christ's, then you will be joining the prophet Jonah in his praise to the Lamb of God, even as he shall join you in yours on the day when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. Jonah and all the redeemed of the Lord will be singing out a new song to Christ. Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, for they shall reign on the earth. Revelation 5, 9 and 10. Yes, and among those people singing that song will be the men and women and children of Nineveh who repented that day that Jonah came into their city and heard his preaching. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. The God of the Bible is a God of second chances. And that is our subject this morning. The first thing that we want to take note of in the five verses that we have before us, I would encourage you to open your Bibles to Jonah chapter 3. The first is that Jonah himself is restored. Jonah himself is restored. After Jonah was spat out, vomited out upon the shore, perhaps somewhere in Israel, perhaps somewhere else, we don't exactly know. But after Jonah had confessed with his lips his great confession of faith, salvation is of the Lord, we read then at the very start of chapter 3, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you, in verses 1 and 2. And we notice two remarkable things concerning Jonah's restoration. The first is this. We see that the Lord's sovereign plan has not been thwarted, not been hindered by Jonah's rebellion. We see that the Lord God's sovereign plan has not been thwarted or hindered by Jonah's rebellion. The Lord just picks up with Jonah at the same place where he first began when he called him the first time at the beginning of chapter 1 to go to Nineveh and proclaim the word that he had for the Ninevites. He still wants his man, Jonah, to go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out the message that he would give to him. He still desires, that is, God still desires to give the Ninevites an opportunity to turn from their wicked ways. But let this be a lesson to every one of you. Your sins and your backslidings will never impede God's will from being done. Your sins and your backslidings will never stop God from carrying out his purposes. Your plans may falter, they may fail because of sin, but God's will not. Even today, as the world turns and a new year has begun, God's purposes are being established throughout the face of the earth, unhindered by man and his rebellion, unhindered by Satan and his devices. You very well, or I, may suffer chastisement because of our turning away from him as Jonah did, but God, he suffers no harm. When when we fail to do what His Word asks of us, when we lack courage, when we lack resolve, when we turn away because we're selfish or self-centered or just turning to our own way. But how patient God is, and this we see here in the outworking of His plans. Jonah will arrive in Nineveh on just the very day that He appointed for him to be there. How patient God is with the outworking of His plans. And how patient He is even when we are standing in opposition to Him, or even as in the case of the prophet Jonah, in open rebellion and going to the opposite place on earth where God had commanded, from where God had commanded him to go. The other thing we see regarding Jonah's restoration is that Jonah is restored to his prophetic office only after he repents. Only after he repents. You remember from the previous two chapters that Jonah had dishonored his God before the Gentile sailors and had dishonored himself in dishonoring his God. No wonder the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Even before the sailors, even in such peril, Jonah did no more than just admit his sin. But he didn't grieve over it. When he was on the ship with them, he didn't grieve over his sin. He admitted, yes, I've been running away from the Lord. But it's hard to say that he actually repented, that he actually turned away from it, that he actually was grieved in his heart that he had disobeyed his God. He proved himself in every way to be unfit for his office as prophet in his rebellion. How grievous it is when those entrusted with an office sin and then continue in it without repentance, whether that be a prophet or a pastor or an elder or a deacon or a president or a public official. Woe to the man God spits out of his office because he has not repented of his sin. But we know that Jonah is restored and that he must have repented. And I think we hear that in chapter 2 in the psalm or of Jonah's soul. But we know for sure that Jonah is restored to his office and his calling because we read in chapter 3, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Then, meaning after Jonah had come to his senses and repented of his rebellion against his God. His time in the belly of the fish had shown him both God's displeasure, but also His mercy. He suffered a living death there in the belly of the fish, but he came out alive. And he was ready to go to Nineveh. Which leads us to our next point. Secondly, that God's sovereign mercy has yielded Jonah's personal obedience. God's sovereign mercy has yielded Jonah's personal obedience. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Verse 3. A man or a woman, you who are gathered here, me, a man or a woman who knows the meaning of forgiveness, who has been shown God's mercy, who has been given a second chance, is made willing by grace to do God's will. Not perfectly, but made willing in the day of God's power nonetheless. This time, Jonah does not arise and flee. Rather, he picks himself up from the shore, wipes off the sand and the slime from his body, gathers himself together, and sets off across land to Nineveh, that great city, according to the word of the Lord. Beloved, you and I would do well to reflect often upon the fact that because of what God has done for you in Christ, you will not suffer the torment of hell forever. Every one of you who has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ is a brand plucked from the burning. Your sins have been forgiven in Christ and through his blood. He clothes you with his righteousness. And he has given you the Holy Spirit that you might be made willing to do his will, to obey his commandments, to love him with all your heart, strength, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That is the grace that you have received in Christ Jesus as you have believed on him. And so as you begin a new year, as I begin a new year, as we begin a new year together, let us lay hold of that truth. Let us be aware in our hearts and minds that we are not going to suffer hell and eternal punishment because of what Christ has done for us in dying for us, in shedding his own blood for our souls. Do you believe that, beloved? Are you rejoicing in it? Amen. If you find your zeal for the Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom lagging, just remember that. Go back to that. I'm not going to perish in my sin, but Jesus interposed his own blood for my soul. Let that be a stimulator to your heart and mind and your will to live not for yourself anymore, but for the one who died and was raised for your sake. Let it be a constant mercy to your soul and to mine, and cause for praise and motive for doing God's will, that you are a vessel prepared for glory and not for destruction. And so notice something about Jonah here, that Jonah makes haste to Nineveh without counting the cost of his travels. Previously, he had paid the fare to go down into the belly of the ship to go off to Tarshish. But now Jonah gathers himself together, gathers whatever he needs for his journey, his staff, who knows. But he heads out over land, not counting the cost to himself, to go to the city of the enemies of his enemies, the enemies of Israel, to cry out against it. And even though Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth, Jonah is undaunted by the task, by the labors which God sends him again to carry out, to execute faithfully. And then when Jonah arrives in Nineveh, however long it took him to get there, he begins to preach the very word that God had given him to cry out against the Ninevites. And so thirdly, we want to consider this morning, the preaching of the gospel is never without the warning to flee from the wrath to come. The preaching of the gospel is never without the warning to flee from the wrath to come. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." Surely we think that Jonah must have preached the promise of forgiveness of sins and mercy to the people of Nineveh. We don't know that because The scripture just says that his message was, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. But the Spirit wants to impress upon the Ninevites that there is a certain judgment coming to them for their iniquities, for their idolatries, for the violence of their hands, for their lawlessness. And so Jonah comes preaching a message of judgment, that their city would be destroyed by the God of Israel. Now let me say that if you are here today and you have not yet changed your mind about yourself, have not believed that your very nature, as it's constituted by nature, has been and is in rebellion against your Creator, if you have not seen that you personally, as you have grown up with every passing year, that you have broken God's commandments and lived contrary to God's revealed will, that you have lived in some form of rebellion against God and His goodness and His grace and mercy, if you haven't seen that, acknowledged that, believed that, and repented of it, then you are no different than the Ninevites on the day that Jonah came to them, living out their lives against the Creator of the ends of the earth, worshiping their idols. And here's the word that must be preached to every human soul, that unless you repent and turn away from your sin, you too will be overthrown by a living God, your Creator. Whether in 40 days or in 40 years, but unless you repent, you will be overthrown. Even as Johnny Cash has sung in that great song of his, sooner or later, God's going to cut you down. It's a solemn thought, isn't it? Many of you read in the paper, heard on the news of that terrible accident on I-81 this week. Three people perished in an instant. We know not the day nor the hour when our time will come. And so God sends Jonah to Nineveh and says to them, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now is the time. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the day to repent of your sin and cry out to God for mercy, for forgiveness. We heard in our call to worship this morning from Isaiah, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thought. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Even now, God is willing to pardon everyone who will turn away from his sin and look to God for mercy in Christ Jesus. Even now, even today, even this very moment, even at the start of a new year, God is willing to receive everyone who will come to him through his Son, Jesus Christ, to see the mercy displayed in his cross and by his shed blood. He won't turn you away. Not one who comes to Christ in faith will be turned away. Not one who comes brokenhearted, repenting of sin, saying, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. He will receive you. He will accept you and welcome you into his own family. And so if there's anyone here today who is not yet turned away from your sin and acknowledged it before God and grieved over it, but also at the same time seen the cross of Christ being held out to you by God, now's the day to come to Jesus. For God is willing to receive you, welcome you as a prodigal child with open arms, and to embrace you and to never let go of you. For the gospel is that no one can snatch the one who believes in Jesus out of God's hands, nor of Christ's. The cross of Jesus Christ is held out to everyone who knows him or herself to be a sinner as the hope and assurance that the Lord God is a God of second chances. He's a God of second chances. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is the saint's song, everlasting song. Those who are sinners, yet now who have come to faith in Christ, are made saints by his grace and by the shed blood of Jesus. And so the final point this morning is this, our fourth point. Faithful preaching is the instrument God uses to draw sinners to himself. And we read in the scripture from Jonah, and the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. Notice that the people of Nineveh did not merely believe Jonah, but the scripture says that they believed God. They believed God himself. They believed that the messenger was a messenger of a true and living God. They heard the word, yet 40 days in Nineveh shall be overthrown, and the fear of God entered their hearts, but also the hope of God's mercy was held out to them. There was power, there was earnestness, there was truth in what Jonah was proclaiming. And he addressed their consciences and addressed what they knew to be true in themselves and in their hearts, that apart from God's grace and mercy, they would indeed be overthrown by the God of Israel. And so they believed that God also would have been right to overthrow them for their sin and their wickedness, and that he could and would do the very thing that he said he would do. They also believed that God could and would spare them their destruction if they turned away from their sin and turned to the God of Israel, as we shall see tonight. There is no more important work in the world than to be God's ambassador, to bring forth his stern warnings, but also his gracious promises given to us in Scripture. For it says, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed for the very thing for which I sent it. Isaiah 55, 10, and verse 11. We also read a parallel in Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15, where we read, "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching?" It is the message of the cross that is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And so I say to every one of you who are here today, has God's word, as it's been preached today, has it come to you again today with fresh urgency? Do you hear not only the warnings to repent, but also God's wooing of you to believe on him, on his Son, and find mercy in the name and in by the blood of Jesus Christ? Do you not believe that God is a God of second chances? How the world needs to hear that message in 2017. How we need to hear it and appropriate it to ourselves. Jonah was a living testimony to this fact. Ask Jonah. Ask Isaiah. Ask Peter. Ask Paul. The preeminent preachers of Scripture, that if whether or not God is a God of second chances. He is, beloved. Oh, that every one of us would know that and believe that and lay it up as treasure in our hearts. Each one given by God a second chance, each unashamed to proclaim that no man who turns to the Lord for mercy shall be turned away. And I finish with these verses from Romans chapter 10. And may you hear them with renewed faith in your hearts. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. Amen and hallelujah. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Our God and Heavenly Father, a new year has begun this very day. And we know not what it brings, but you do, O God. But what you call us to stand upon is not the uncertainty of our flesh or of the days that are set before us, but upon the rock of Jesus Christ, that we would build our lives upon him and his gospel. That as he has called us to a life of repentance and faith, so we would live for him and for the praise of his glory. For we do believe, Father, and rejoice in the promise of the gospel, that you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. May that everlasting life which has begun in us, or may begin in us today if we have not yet laid hold of us, may that be set before our lives in this year to come. And may we continually draw strength from the grace of that message to live for Christ, and if necessary, even to die for him, to know that we, when we leave this life, we shall go to be with the Lord forever. Amen and amen.